Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Is this my episode?
Yeah, hi everyone. Welcome to Perfect Stranglers. Yes, it is your episode.
Hey guys.
It is a Thursday at 3 o'clock. Usually we this is like the weirdest recording time we've ever done.
It's like impromptu almost.
It kind of is. Yeah. Yeah. I am not going to lie. I just finished my episode's research right before I got on this call.
Mm-hmm. No shame in that.
Yeah, I just finished it because here's the thing is I think that I know what I want to do, and then I'll see something in the news and I'm like, oh, that's what I'm gonna do. Yeah. Like I have a lot of half started things mm-hmm. that I just don't finish because I find something that is like happening now that I just need to know more about.
That's good.
So
I think
I'm thinking of doing a heavy hitter for the next time we record. I'm thinking of it, but I want to do like a big one, mm-hmm. like one of like the top five. Right. Like I kind of want to do Co-Ed Killer, Ed Kemper.
Okay, yeah. One of the classics.
Maybe. Well, I want to do a classic. Yeah. Bring it back for a classic. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Cool. Well, I have I don't know. I don't know if you'd call it a heavy hitter, but it's quite a popular true crime mystery coming up. So you all have that to look forward to.
Oh, really? I'm curious to know what it is, but before we get started, how do you feel about Christmas? What's your vibe on Christmas, Brie?
I've had a changing vibe about Christmas. When I was a kid, loved Christmas. My mom loves Christmas. There's always a big deal about Christmas when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. When I moved out on my own, I was medium about Christmas. And then I started working retail. And I was the visual merchandising manager. And I had to put up all the Christmas decorations for a huge-ass store. And change all the mannequins. And change all of the graphics to Christmas stuff. And stand on 12-foot ladders to put said graphics up. And then I would be exhausted and Christmased out by the time I got home. And now it's been a few years. And now I'm medium about Christmas again, I would say.
Okay.
I like Christmas. You know, I like going to a good Christmas party, but, like, my home is not, like, decked out.
Yeah. I kind of wish that my home was decked out, but at the same time, like, I have nowhere to put shit. Yeah. Like, where am I going to put all these decorations that I'm only using for a month out of the year?
And I don't want to put it down. It's not fun to take it down. It's only fun to put it up.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And, like, some people will have just winter decorations. It's not necessarily Christmas-based, but it's, like, snowmen and stuff like that. That's, like, winter decor, which I can kind of get behind. But also, I feel like that type of thing is really a boomer thing to do because they are all just hoarders.
Yeah.
They have little decorations and little, like,
dust collectors.
Things that they've... dust collectors everywhere, and that's just not what we do nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little choogy.
You know, like, I don't have... it's very choogy. It's boomer choogy. And I don't have, like, shelving everywhere. And if I do have shelving, it's very purposeful shelving that serves an actual purpose. Like, I didn't put shelving up to be like, I wonder what I can put on that shelf. It's like, I need a shelf for this. Because I have to put this somewhere.
Yes, exactly. Out of necessity.
Our generation does purposeful shelving, not decoration shelving, I feel.
Who wants to dust all that extra crap anyways?
Exactly. Like, I can't. And sometimes I'll go into, like, you know the pop-up stores that happen in malls where it's... like the like weird wooden elves with big noses and their legs are like attached to a string and then a piece of wood and it's like made to be like ugly cute.
Yeah.
I can't with that. Every woman in my family, all of the aunts in my family, and all the women in my family think that stuff is just so cute. And I'm like, it's not my thing. It just looks too cluttered. I think that's the thing. It's not that the item is ugly. It's that the clutteredness of it is ugly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you're putting there. It's just too much.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never in my adult life lived in a big enough place where I can just like have space for crap like things. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's mainly the thing.
Yeah, that's a lot of space. Like, I don't even like crumbs on my table bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine having decor on a table.
Yeah.
Like, getting in my way.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. I can't fathom it. Having a tissue box on my table bothers me.
Yeah.
I just can't get behind it. Anyway, that's our Christmas rant before Christmas. Mm-hmm. The rant before Christmas. Oh, do you think... The Rant Before Christmas. Okay. Do you think... What's the Christmas movie that everyone thinks is Christmas, but it's not? With Bruce Willis.
Die Hard?
Yes. Is that a Christmas movie, or does it just take place during Christmas?
It takes place during Christmas. The movie came out in, like, July or something. Like, it was released in theaters in, like, July of whatever year. So
it's not a Christmas movie. No. I've never seen it, but I just know this great debate.
I don't even think... I don't know. Does the whole movie even take place the whole time at Christmas? I don't know. I know it starts out on, like, Christmas Eve or something like that. I don't know. I don't like that movie, so... Yeah.
I've never seen it. Maybe I should watch that tonight.
I watched it, and I remember not liking it, so I don't remember it because I don't like it.
Okay. Maybe I'll try and watch it. There's a movie that I watched with Henry Cavill that is totally not Christmas-related that was really fucking good. What was it called? It was called Night Hunter, and it's a psychological thriller, and Henry Cavill plays, like, a homicide detective, FBI agent. It's really freaking good. It's on Amazon Prime.
Nice. What's it called?
The Night Hunter?
Night Hunter. Okay, yeah.
It was one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
Sounds right up my alley. I'll have to...
It is, I'm not kidding, and the twist that it has is just...
Ooh.
Chef's kiss.
I love a good twist.
It is a good twist. I had my friend Julia watch it, and she's like, oh! She messaged me at, like, the middle of the night, because she stays up late, and she's like, oh my god! And, like, mentioned the twist, and I was like, I know!
Yeah. Our episode today actually has a twist.
Oh, it does? Yeah. Love a good twist.
It's a short one, because let me tell you what. I have been feeling like an old laptop battery where you charge it and it works for like an hour and then you just got to charge it again because it's dead. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel that. I went home for Thanksgiving and I should not have went home. And for reasons, I guess. And I got to see my two best friends and that was fantastic. But I just really shouldn't have went home, and it was kind of a waste of gas. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, that's kind of a long way, too.
It really wore me out. Yeah. Like, I drove 8 hours there and 8 hours back, and I should have just stayed home and FaceTimed my best friends. It's what I should have done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's over with. It is what it is. Lesson learned. Won't be doing that for a while. But yeah, it just wears you out. The holidays wears you out. The time of year that the holidays are in wears you out. Anyway, so let's do housekeeping. I'm sure that's going to be a really abrupt segue into housekeeping. But you know what? It is what it is. Welcome to live radio. Just kidding. housekeeping. Hi, guys. Hi, Stranglers. Hope you're having a great holiday season, whatever you choose to celebrate or choose not to celebrate. If you would like to give a gift to us, what we would love for you to do is to go to Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars, and leave us a review if you're on an Apple device. If you're on Spotify, please tell us if we made your Spotify's Wrapped like thing. I'm sure that's going to be over by the time this comes out, but if you remember us being on your Wrapped, let us know, because I really want to know. It said 20-something of you guys had us as your top podcast, and more of you had us as your top 5. So we would like to know. Also, yeah, leave us a review and go ahead and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Facebook is at Perfect Stranglers, a true crime podcast. Instagram is at Perfect_Stranglers, and Twitter is at Perf Stranglers. And if you have any interesting things you'd like to tell us, or you just want to tell us how much you love us, please go to contact@perfectstranglers.com, email us, and let us know all of the things. And that's that on that.
Cool. What yeah, she said.
Real cool. Cool, cool. That's what she said. All right, Bree, what are we doing? Okay. What do we got cooking?
All right, so I was purposefully trying to find a case with a twist in it. So,
oh.
Yeah. So I actually found this one on a YouTube video, and then I researched it further. So here goes. All right, this strange true crime case, it's kind of recent. It happened in 2010. So on September 15th, 2010, a guy named Greg Flanagan, a middle-aged man who was traveling for business, checked into the Elegante Hotel in Beaumont, Texas. He was in the oil business. Imagine that.
Okay. Imagine that.
And he traveled a lot for business, and he was in contact with his wife multiple times a day while he was traveling. So the next morning, when his wife, I believe her name was Susie, hadn't heard from him, she contacted his coworkers, and they went to his room, and when he didn't answer the door, they went down to the front desk, and they asked the hotel manager to open the door. And when they did, they found Greg Flanagan dead on the floor with a cigarette still in his hand. He was a creature of habit. His nightly hotel routine was to change into pajama bottoms, crank up the AC, and watch TV while smoking cigarettes and eating candy bars.
How big was this guy? Do we know his height and weight? Do we know his diabetes status?
He was not actually a big guy. He was an average guy, actually. Must have had a good metabolism or something, I don't know.
Hell yeah.
So, when the hotel manager opened the door to room 348, it was warm and stuffy in there. And on the bed, Flanagan had laid out a hand towel, and on top of it was his ashtray, cigarettes, lighter, BlackBerry.
Isn't it weird how we call a cell phone unless you have a BlackBerry?
Right. Which, is that a thing anymore?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I remember when it was an actual accessory. And then do you also remember when people would have like cell phone charms, like the little dangly thing?
Yes.
And it like covered the hole where your headphones were supposed to go in?
Yep, I remember this.
Wow, bringing it back.
The remote was on the hand towel, and also a Reese's Crispy Crunchy Bar, which is now discontinued. I looked it up because I didn't remember that one. Anyway, it's not important to the case. I just
wanted to know.
Yeah.
You want to know? Okay, can I give a hot take on candy quick?
Okay, go ahead.
Because I just need to. I don't like peanut butter unless it's out of a jar. I don't like, we've talked about Snickers and stuff. I don't like Snickers. I don't like Reese's peanut butter cups. Butterfingers are fucking disgusting and they get stuck in your teeth. Like, I don't even understand. But I do love a Nutter Butter. The peanut butter
the cookies?
Crack. Like, or yes.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but I think it's because they don't really taste like peanut butter. They're really sugary.
Yeah, they are.
I was thinking of that the other day. And then there are the Little Debbie snacks with the peanut. It was like, it's like a giant peanut butter Twix or Kit Kat almost, where it has the layers.
The Nutty Bars. Those Nutty really Buddies?
Good. Yes. Nutty Bars. I think yes. Yeah, those are really good. I could really go for one of those right now.
Yeah. I used to buy those.
Maybe
all
like
time.
crunch it up in some ice cream. Did you ever take ice cream and stir it really, really fast to get it like really creamy so it's like soft syrup?
Like a shake almost. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And crunch up one of those bars and put it in there.
That'd be good.
Ooh, that I bet that would be really fucking good.
Okay.
Anyway.
Sorry,
yeah. Anyway, I'm really hungry.
All right. So, anyways, So this guy, right? Greg Flanagan. He was laying face down on the carpet with a cigarette in his left hand, and he had rug burn on his cheek. From how the scene looked, Greg's wife, she said that he was right-handed. He always smoked with his right hand. And he always made a habit of having the air conditioner cranked way up when he was sleeping in a hotel. So those were two unusual things. And initially, family and friends thought that he, like, had a heart attack just from being a heavy smoker, with a sweet tooth. But, also because there was, he had over, like, $1,000 of cash in the room, and it was, I mean, it was still there, the TV was still on, so, like, it didn't seem like a robbery-type situation or anything like that. So their theory was, like, maybe, you know, just looking him over on the scene, he had just that rug burn on his cheek, and he had a small wound on his scrotum.
Oh, like a rug burn wound?
Yeah. Nah, I didn't say rug burn. So, I just said a small wound. Okay.
I don't know why I went to rug burn. Okay, let's move on from that mental image, okay?
You know what? No, can I please say one thing about that?
Yeah, please.
Because when you said that, I pictured, like, how sometimes dogs, yes, like, scrape their butt. Okay.
Yeah.
Glad I said that.
Okay. I was thinking that, and I was picturing something very different than that.
I mean, yeah, no, but he was wearing his pajama pants, though, so I don't know.
Okay.
So they thought maybe, like, the hotel manager was telling them that, like, somebody was sent up to his room the night before. It was a maintenance man, and he was fixing, like, the circuit breaker or something, because he blew a fuse in his room, because Greg was making, like, microwave popcorn in the microwave in the hotel room, and he popped a circuit. And so the maintenance guy came up. They looked into the maintenance guy because he was actually a sex offender.
Oh.
And, apparently he was cleared. And so then their next theory was, like, okay, maybe, you know, like, they wanted to know who were the neighbors in the surrounding rooms. And there was a group of, electricians in the next room from Wisconsin, and they thought maybe, you know, since he blew a fuse, maybe some of their stuff didn't work. Maybe their power went out in their room or something, and they came over, knocked on the door, and were, like, angry about it or something like that. And mm-hmm. that's why he had the cigarette in his other hand, because he went to open the door.
Yeah.
And maybe he got, like, kicked in the nuts with, like, a steel toe boot or something. Ooh. Like that.
But would that call a wound? Would that cause, like, a... I'm picturing, like, a nick. Like, you know when you shaving your balls and you get a nick? That's what I'm picturing.
I can imagine.
Is that what you were thinking? Is that not what everyone else is thinking? No?
This poor guy. I'm sorry that this guy's dead. We're, like, laughing about his nutsack.
Is that not what you're using? Right? No? That's literally...
I guess so.
It's a wound, so I'm picturing, like, he nicked his balls shaving.
Oh, jeez. Well... So those were the theories that they were kind of working with, just by. You good?
Oh my god, I'm crying. Oh my god. Okay. Yes, I'm fine. Oh wow.
Okay.
Okay.
So just by the look of the scene, that's kind of the theories that they were looking at initially. They sent his body to the medical examiner, just to kind of basically. Basically, they were trying to confirm that it was a heart attack. Okay. Because that's what they kind of thought was the most likely situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, outwardly, how we said there was little to determine the cause of death. When his body was opened and examined, there was actually lacerations on his liver, stomach, intestines, and heart. And he had two broken ribs.
Ooh.
So it almost looked like he had been beaten up, like, pretty badly or crushed or something. And he bled out internally. And the medical examiner determined that he bled to death in less than 1 minute from internal injuries. Mm. So it was ruled a homicide at that point. And detectives started gathering statements from the guests in the nearby rooms. But it seems like no one heard a thing. There was no, like, video evidence from the hallway to suggest that anyone but Greg was in the room other than that maintenance guy who had been cleared.
Okay.
Also, no one seemed to have a motive, really. So the family offered I think it was like a $50,000 reward for any, like, information leading to the arrest of whoever did this to Greg Flanagan. And also the family got a second opinion by hiring a private investigator who was an ex-FBI agent. And he was interviewing the neighbors who were that group of electricians from Wisconsin. And they were the ones who said that they didn't hear anything. They said that they barely saw him leave his room at night. And the room next door to Greg Flanagan was registered to Tim Steinmetz and Lance Mueller. And they had a guest over that night named Trent Pisano. And so the private investigator looked at Greg's room. And he noticed that there was an indentation in the wall. And he wondered if there was one on the other side, a matching one on the other side in the electrician's room. So, while searching the room that the electricians were in, he found a matching hole on the other side, sure enough, and determined it was a bullet hole. And it had been patched with white toothpaste. The old toothpaste trick. Yeah, so the investigators used, like laser pointers, lasers, to mark the trajectory of the bullet, and it showed that the bullet would have struck the bed. So they surmised that Greg was laying in bed, and he had been shot through the wall into the nutsack, and the bullet bounced around his internal organs, tearing them up, and they like, couldn't examine his body after they, like, figured this out because he had been cremated, but they presented their evidence and their theory to the medical examiner, and medical examiner agreed that that is what happened, reluctantly agreed, because also the medical examiner was like, the media is going to kill me for this.
Yeah.
Because, like, initially the medical examiner thought that he had just been, like, beaten or something like that.
Yeah.
Although, he didn't have bruises. That was kind of... No. He didn't have outward bruises.
So what he has is a nutsack nick and bruised internal organs.
Yep.
And bleeding internal organs. And we have a guy at the door. We have a guy. He answered the door. His hotel door, didn't he?
Well, I mean, he did for the maintenance guy, but that was the theory that they thought,
but he was cleared,
you know, was going on. I've never figured out, and I don't think they did either, why his cigarette was in his left hand.
Okay. Weird.
But, also because the air conditioner was off, they think that, he didn't turn it back on after the maintenance guy came, because he turned the TV back on. He was watching Iron Man 2.
Good choice.
Yeah. And they think he just didn't notice yet that the air conditioner wasn't on. that he would have later and, like, turned it on, but he was dead.
Yeah.
And also, he never got to finish his movie.
He's never going to know how the Infinity Saga ends.
Right? So, the investigators, they're pretty sure that this is exactly what happened. So, they re-interviewed these three electricians, and they really turned the heat up on them, so to speak. Just really expecting some answers out of them. So it had been over a year from the initial interview, but they tracked them down in Wisconsin. And they recounted the whole night. Tim Steinmetz basically confessed all this stuff. He said that the men had been drinking in the room next to Greg's. Trent, the guest, went down to Lance's car to get another bottle of whiskey. And Lance asked him to grab his gun from the car while he was down there. When Trent got back, Lance took the gun and pointed it at Tim and then at Trent. And then the gun fired, narrowly missing Trent and going into the wall. And after that, Trent, the guest, left the room as fast as he could. And Lance took the gun back down to his car and went to the hotel bar with Tim. They did not check to see if anyone was in the next room or if they were okay. And they didn't fess up to it until they knew that they were in serious trouble with the police. So even though they knew the entire time that they had that Lance had killed Greg Flanagan because they saw his body bag being wheeled out on a gurney the next day.
What?
Yeah. So only when they had him completely pinned did they admit what happened.
Oh my god.
They knew the whole time that he killed him.
What the fuck?
That one guy, yeah, Lance. So, it was Tim who confessed. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the one who did the shooting, but he was in the room. And after his confession, he called Lance in a recorded phone call and told him that he confessed and urged him to do the same. Lance Mueller, pleaded no contest to manslaughter in 2012, and he received 10 years in prison for the death of Greg Flanagan.
Wow. Where did this take place? Where in Wisconsin?
The electricians were from Wisconsin, but this took place in Beaumont, Texas. All of the gentlemen in the story were traveling for business and staying for a few days at that hotel, at the Elegante Hotel.
Okay. God. Guys suck.
Yeah. So, how weird from going from, gosh darn it, this heavy smoker.
Yeah.
Probably had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
To maybe he was beaten. To, nope, actually, an errant bullet went up through his scrotum and messed up his organs and he bled internally.
Yeah.
That's a freak accident. That is in the wrong place at the wrong time.
The absolute wrong place, wrong time. Wow. And imagine being shot from...
Also, how confusing. Below? What a confusing death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it must have been just instant pain. And, like, what is happening to me? And then...
I mean, it had to have felt like a kick in the balls. The most intense kick in the balls.
Probably, yeah. Like...
Hard pass. Hard pass on that.
Yeah, that's a terrible
death. That's an awful death. Getting killed by the ultimate kick in the balls.
Yeah.
That is the one time I will give a man a pass for saying a kick in the balls hurts. Is if it's by a gun.
Oh, yeah.
That's your one pass. That is it. That's all you get. Just saying. Well, Bree, I like these ones that you're doing this season. I'm a big fan of your choices this season.
Good.
I am. Yeah, this is the first. I think this is the first one you've done of a death, isn't it?
I think it actually might be.
I think this is the first death that you've done.
Yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't do it for a while.
Well, the Come next back. One that I do has over 200 deaths. So.
Oh geez. Oh. Oh boy.
making up for the lack of death on this freaking podcast. The next one is over 200, so that'll be fun.
All right.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will chat with you next Thursday.
Bye, everyone.